Alright, stay quiet. I'm gonna get him now.
He's got too many damn cards in the pocket.
I know I have one.
Appreciate it.
Right? I'm ready.
And which one, if a housing, I mean, you know, do you have enough to start your discussion? Right?
Just to start the discussion, yeah.
That's fine. No, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And let's do the right thing. I need to see paperwork.
Yeah, especially when you were here.
You want to start your discussion on the IMA, or you want to wait till your committee's here?
Well, I got 1, 2, 3, and the bill's coming in before.
But you have 3 to start your discussion, right?
Right.
So why don't you start?
Now. Okay. Start.
3, come on.
Does he have enough for his committee?
You got 5 now.
Yeah. Housing would be fine with Bill now, right?
We're good now.
Okay, everybody's good?
Wait.
All right. Were you in our
I always wanted to do that, folks, so we're going to gavel the meeting to order. I'll call the meeting of public safety and security to order. I have a quorum. For both discussion and voting purposes.
I call to order the Committee on Budget and Appropriations. We have a quorum present.
Mr. Chairman. And I think we have a really good shot of having housing and planning together. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, so we have a quorum for the Committee on Housing and Planning.
All right. Mr. Pinto, the top of the agenda is public's...
yeah, their IMAs okay. With our corrections department. Kevin and Carl okay. Will come up. They have business to do back in the office. We'll be happy to take them on and go through the IMA. We have 3 IMAs, ladies and gentlemen, for the purpose of information. We have one with New Rochelle Prisoner Transport Reimbursement, a 2-year program. One with Peekskill Prisoner Transport Program for reimbursement, also a 2-year program. One with Yonkers Prisoner Transport Reimbursement Program, a 2-year program. And then we're amending the 2008-09 Peekskill Prisoner Transport IMA. Commissioner Kevin Jerko and Carl Wolberg are here representing the Corrections Department, and we'll be happy to go through them, Mo Scosh, and get you guys back to work.
Thank you. You want to do them one at a time? Or
sure, if you don't mind, just to highlight the 2 years, the cost, and the savings to the county by participating.
All right. Well,
the fact that our men are not there all day with them.
All right, basically to cover all of them, the reason why it benefits us to pay the municipalities to do the transport is pretty basic. We reimburse these municipalities for the amount of time for transportation only. We don't reimburse them for the time that they're in the courtroom. If they were to opt out of these contracts, we would have to pick up the transportation, which would mean that we would have to pay officers probably on an overtime basis for 8 hours, where right now we're paying these municipalities probably around 3 or 4 hours. In addition to that, if we were to take over these transportation for these municipalities, we would have to purchase additional vehicles. And these transportation vehicles are about just for a small van which carries 10 to 12 inmates. We're talking about $50,000 for a vehicle, not counting the maintenance and the insurance. So for that reason, blanket for all of these, that's the reason why it benefits us to do it this way.
Okay. And they like the fact that they have control of the local folks that are being picked up,
right.
So that's why it's an intermunicipal agreement.
Right. And some of these municipalities, when the transport officers come to get them, the local police come to get them, they can be out for longer than 8 hours a day. And especially with these cities, they have large numbers of inmates going out every day. Yonkers, we're averaging 30-some-odd inmates a day. And that would cause us to have to buy either a larger vehicle or several smaller ones.
And this has been an ongoing and existing program, but I think for the purposes of notification and transparency, the one with New Rochelle is 2 years. It's a total of $448,856 being agreed upon. That would be this year on the fiscal impact statement, $215,000. Next year, $233,856, and the rates are set for hourly rates in 2010, as well as for cost of transportation for in case there's just a person, a community service officer, at a different rate, and then the price of 50 cents per mile, unless it's changed by the federal government regulations. So that's New Rochelle in a nutshell. And then we have the City of Peekskill, which is also a two-year agreement for the total cost of $390,000, not to exceed. And we have two-year ranges once again in the fiscal impact statement. And is we don't have any for this year, but it's how come they didn't have the fiscal impact? Oh, yeah, $295,700 for next year. So that what we have is the third one is with the City of Yonkers, and that's for a total of $649,000, and an annual flat rate of $319 for 2010 and $329 for 2011. Now, these all depend upon the number of prisoners that do come up, but it's a matter of association, the budget, and appropriating the funds in expectation of being used. If they're not used, and then, you know, certainly we don't expend the money. If they are used totally and there would be a larger prisoner influx and need for transportation, then we come back and amend as we're doing with the Peekskill one. And the Peekskill one, the final one, is for $370,000 to $374,000, and that was for the year 2008 and 2009. And I would imagine, Carl, if you want to explain the reason that we amended it, be my guest.
The reason why the amendment for Peekskill came to be is because during last year, Peekskill added an additional day for court. They added a drug court on Wednesdays, which increased the number of transportation, the number of trips they had to do for transportation. So that's why we have that increase.
Feedback from the drug court program, is it working? We get success reports from Yonkers on that particular program. Do you have any feedback on that?
I don't have any feedback about how it's working for them. I know that they are taking prisoners out on Wednesday.
We have more residents being transported for those crimes, so to speak, so we do have to meet that need, and we have done so. We can double-check that when we have a public safety meeting with corrections, just to kind of review some years, events and programs. We'll put that down on the calendar, please, and we'll mark it.
Mr. Jenkins. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. These are for arraignments, or this is in between the arraignments? Because the question is whether or not the new the request that we have in to modify the video conferencing, yes, is that going to impact these particular numbers?
Well, it could. These are post-arraignments. Any court hearing at the local court level up until the time that they go to county court. So whether it's conferences, felony hearings, any conferences or any court appearances.
And remember, we did try the video up at Mount Pleasant. We do recognize it as being a cost savings, and once again, it's up to the prisoner and his attorney or her attorney or his or her, whoever the attorney is, to say they agreed to do that.
But
we haven't really found that to be wanting by both parties.
Yeah, sure, it was a day out, but the reality is the question that we have in our state legislative package is is a request to modify that so that the video arraignment is mandatory as opposed to optional, right? It's mandated by the judge with some latitude.
The only thing I can respond to that, if it does become law in the state, then we certainly will have to save money, and then that would be a cost-effective measure that we would be obliged to follow. But until that comes through, I think it's prudent on our part to accept the IMAs as written, and certainly amendments come along the course of the budget year to be made, we'll do so. Mr. Burton, you were going to raise an issue?
No.
Oh, okay. Mr. Harcum?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you accept a motion for both committees?
I would accept the motion for both committees.
So move
all four items?
Yes.
Second.
Wait, Mr. Rogalski has a question.
We're not just before the vote.
I wanted to hold the vote up because I saw his hand up and I knew he had a question.
And Bob has a
question. The Peekskill money, good morning. I apologize for being late, Chairman.
That's all right.
The money for Peekskill 2008-2009.
Yes.
Where is that coming? Is that set aside? Where's that money coming from?
That's what I said. It wasn't in the current year
operation. I'm sorry, did I miss that question?
Yeah, I said it's not in the fiscal impact statement, well, so I wanted that explained.
It says other, so I need to do that for you.
Can we explain that? Does anybody have any idea? Do we have somebody from the department or budget? Just coming out of budget, right?
Well,
within our corrections line items, transfer from one budget item to another, one likely fund balance.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I can, you know, the other ones are from, you know, current appropriations. Yes. This is 08-09. I don't know if Bob. Yeah, Bob has. I mean, it's either
I was going to question that because
they've encumbered it from last year.
That there's no money left in 2009 unless they made a transfer.
Right. So,
well, I think, you know,
could you get back with us on that? We're not going to bring this up to the floor until the next official meeting. Okay. And pending it, getting that information, I will hold it up or recommit it. If we don't get that information prior to a board vote.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I mean, there are several committees
for
the public
that.
Safety,
yes.
But from the budget committee's point of view, I think it's appropriate for the
administration. And I said it's not on the fiscal impact statement. I was wondering why myself. I had mentioned that.
Yeah, but I think, and if our staff, Bob, if you don't have an answer.
Bob, further concern?
I have another concern on you, Michelle.
Yes, sir. What about it?
Well, just if I can, before Bob goes into Rochelle, so do I have the statement from the chairman that if we don't find this money, you know, but it's just I'm disappointed that something comes before us.
And they didn't have to.
And we're sitting as the budget committee, and we need to know where this money's coming from. So this should not be sloughed over lightly.
You have our commitment to recommit the item if we don't get satisfaction to your request, Mr. Rogowski.
It will not get to the floor, Mr. Rogowski, if I have my way. Trust me.
You'll pay for it.
I will.
Thank you.
Bob had a question.
No, Rochelle.
Is that it? Oh, you had a question?
He had a question. Rochelle.
Okay. Yes, Bob.
If we keep filibustering. All right,
Rochelle.
Yes, sir.
On, we just given to us, isn't it? It's going to be 215.
For the current year.
And then next year is going to 233.
Right.
I'd like to get an explanation on that.
That was the cost increases anticipated for the hourly rates, Bob?
Yeah.
When we look at 2010, you'll see it's 6380, 3702, goes to 6571, and 3813. And I was told that the difference in the hourly rate will amount to the increase for the funding needed next year.
That's correct.
And as well as the anticipated cost. And right now we're going on the 50 cents per mile unless it gets changed by the federal government.
Well, all of the IMAs have that mileage reimbursement attached to the IRS rate.
Michelle is the only one that shows a substantial increase. Need to say that these other ones have built-in increases?
Excuse me?
Does the other one, like at Yonkers or Peekskill, have built-in increases that don't show a difference between the total amount and the fiscal impact statement for each year?
I don't understand what you mean by built-in increases.
Well, the New Rochelle one shows 215, then 233, which is a tremendous increase based upon the cost rate increases anticipated. And Bob, would you point out the other ones? Because I am trying to find it on your fiscal impact statement.
Well,
Yonkers is paid on a flat rate, and we base it on their transportation costs. We talk to Yonkers about what their transportation costs are for the inmate loads and their costs for their staffing. New Rochelle is an hourly rate.
Okay. Any other questions? There being no other questions, then I would ask the committees to register their votes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any without prejudice? Okay, the ayes have it. All four items are done. One set of minutes. If I can ask the committee before I dismiss them for an approval on the set of minutes.
I think it's
It's Jose's minutes, that's right, so I won't even ask for that.
Yeah, but you look at the minutes, and the motion would be ordered to the meeting members, so let's not forget them.
We have no other business for public safety. Motion to adjourn the Committee on Public Safety and Security, moved by Mr. Arden. Seconded by Mr. Burton, all in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Public Safety Security Committee stands adjourned at 9:54.
The other two committees remain in session. Ms. Myers is moving the budget minutes. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All in favor for the minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved as presented. Any additions?
Thank you.
Please bring them to the committee coordinator. All right.
No, I've got a chance.
Oh, you have a chance.
If you wouldn't mind. What happened?
Yeah.
All the way.
Right, it's great, huh?
Yeah,
right. I always keep my pants. I'll tell you that.
Probably get the easel thing out so we can work it.
All right, Peter, you had a request of somebody to...
Oh, just if Legislator Kaplowitz could join us.
Mr. Kaplowitz, would you mind joining us since this is your...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure. All right, and this next item is jointly with housing, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're moving along on a process that will bring the... I believe the project is entitled The Muse at Baldwin Place in Somers. Forward for our meeting next Monday night. And so for this purpose, I'd like to ask the Planning Department if they're present, or they'd better be. So please join us at the table. Wow. Man. Half the Planning Department. I guess leaving is that? Don't want to stay?
Well,
you don't want to stay?
Well,
you're
reserving a chair, so.
You got none?
There's nobody sitting.
We got
nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, Ms. Drummond, for purposes strictly of introduction for the tape, if you would tell us who's here and what it's all about.
Sure. I'm Norma Drummond, Deputy Commissioner of the Planning Department, Deb DeLong, Director of Housing, Suzanne Marino, Program Administrator for Housing and Planning.
Okay, the Muse at Baldwin Place. Tell us what we have before us here.
You have before you a legislative package that would allow the county to use its New Homes Land Acquisition Program and Housing Implementation Fund Program to fund the new construction of a 72-unit senior affordable housing development in the town of Somers. In addition to the 72 units, there will be one two-bedroom apartment for a superintendent, so for a total of 73 units, but 72 of those units would be fair and affordable housing. The development has been in the works for quite a while. It received its award of tax credits on August 3rd, 2009. but additional funding was recognized as being needed, and New York State awarded additional funding to it in December of 2010, and we are now before you looking for new homes, land, and housing implementation fund. The property had an updated appraisal done earlier this month. I think it's like dated like March 8th, where the property was appraised at $2.16 million. The sale price that the seller is asking for is $2 million. In addition, there is approximately $1.1 million of infrastructure needed to do the parking and lighting and related infrastructure for the project. 12 of the 72 units will be affordable to seniors earning at or below 30% of median income. 38 of the units will be available to households earning at or below 50% of median, and 22 of the units will be available to seniors earning at or below 60% of median. So it's actually a very, very affordable project, recognizing that generally only 20% of the units have to be at 50%, and 80% can be, as many as 80% can be at 60%. So this really is targeting a much more affordable senior population here.
It is generally your practice not to bring to us a project that does not have absolutely everything in place.
Correct.
Is that correct? And is that an apt description of this project?
At this point, with the approval of the board, with the sewer district inclusion, yes.
Thank you. Questions by members of the committee or others? Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. You said the tax credits were in August, initially issued in August 3rd, 2009. And then what needed to happen that there was a modification?
Well, generally speaking, the value of tax credit, the 9% tax credits has gone down significantly. We're in, you know, a couple years ago, you were actually getting more than the dollar-for-dollar ratio of the equity into a project. The investment actually for this project is only about 76 cents on the dollar. So New York State recognized that this project, not this 9% tax credit project, as I think every other project they awarded this year, needed additional funding. So the New York State Housing Trust Fund stepped in with an additional award of $1.95 million in December of 2009. Wow. So that gets the project the additional equity that it needs to make up for the gap that the tax credits normally would be bringing in. A normal project a couple years ago was anywhere from 89 to 95 cents on the dollar. Now, like I said, it's 76 cents. It created a significant gap.
And that was due to what changes happened at the state to allow that to happen?
The state actually had an additional funding set aside of our money, where they were actually allowed to award some of the projects that around the state what they call TCAP funds,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of the projects they gave the Housing Trust Fund.
Okay. One last question. The chairman, thank you very much. The other question is on New Homes Land and HIF for this particular project. How long has this particular project been on our book for New Homes Land and HIF?
It's been active for some time, but I think we really seriously started underwriting it when we ordered the initial appraisal, which I believe was, I have a date,
yeah.
Thank you, it's active somewhere.
But we did give it a support letter last February,
right.
So it has been on
February
our agenda.
2009.
Yeah, it has been on our listing for over a year at this
right.
point.
So from February 2009, we issued a letter from where?
A letter of support for their tax credit application, which was then awarded in August.
Can you provide a copy of the letter that you all sent in February of 2009, right, to us? And is there, I mean, so, and to give us a clarity on the date, how long this has been on our HIF and New Homes Land acquisition chart? Because I know that, you know, as a member of Housing and Planning for since the time I've been on the board, we have you all provide a spreadsheet for us that indicates clearly that HIF and New Homes Land, you are planning on utilizing those dollars on those projects that are planned, even though they have not hit the table yet, as per the board's request. So, you know, it would be helpful if we have that the latest updated list and the date that it would initially hit that HIF and New Homes list, right, because that would be helpful for us to understand how the process works, because from a clarity perspective, the board clearly understands that we have put aside money in HIF and New Homes Land dollars, and certainly, you know, from at least from one legislator, there's certainly a commitment to continue to support fair and affordable housing projects throughout the county of Westchester utilizing these funds. So we just want to make sure that we have the latest and greatest updated list, but including the dates that we first put those on, right? Because that would be important when the board made its capital budget decisions in including these particular projects. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Ms. Myers.
Yes, I just wanted to go back a little bit historically. Can you talk to how this actually came about vis-a-vis our legacy program?
As you know, Somers has an obligation to provide support for affordable housing projects to meet its obligation under a previous IMA for the acquisition of what's called ankle line.
And what year was that?
2005.
Yep.
And so, you know, in working with the town supervisor and staff, I think it may have even come up in discussions at that point in time, but it was really the developer that called to our attention in preparation for the tax credit application that...
And this was a requirement of the legacy?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. That the, you know, that this project would help fulfill those goals. And I think the town has indicated support all along, including providing support for it being included in the sewer district.
And if I may, through the chair, what would happen if this did not occur vis-a-vis the legacy agreement? How much money was the expenditure for the legacy?
I think this would confuse me another. I think it's a total of $4 million, or $2 million go back.
$4
million.
This
is $4
million. So $2 million from the town of Somers would have to be repaid to the county of Westchester if this did not go forward. Thank you.
Mr. Hart?
Yielding to the supervisor from Somers, and then... I'll make some comments.
Well, I would just say that I don't think the terms of the IMA with the legacy funds are being completely, accurately represented. The town has and will continue to make a good faith effort, which the IMA requires. But if this project does not go forward, although I do support it, I certainly want to make it clear that the town is of the position that should the county not fund this project, the town does not now have to pay back $2 million because we have clearly made a good faith effort to see this project move forward.
What was the year mentioned in the IMA?
The town is required to make good faith effort for 10 years to facilitate the building of 224 units of affordable housing.
224, and this is representative of 73 of them?
72.
72.
72.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Kaplitz. I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not a problem at all. I actually don't have a question. I just have a comment to our colleagues as one of the legislators who represents Somers along with Legislator Kaplowitz. This is a model public-private partnership. This is exactly the kind of fair and affordable housing project that this board has historically supported in a bipartisan way going back over two administrations. The town supervisor, the town board, the planning board, zoning board, the housing board who are here, League of Women Voters. This has been a project that has enjoyed grassroots support. It fits in with the town master plan. It's been meticulously worked on at every level for years. And it's really the model of what we should be doing in this county in terms of fair and affordable housing. So I would urge its support from fellow members of the committee. I know we have a few more questions, and that's our process. This to me is a model of public-private partnership and just the sort of thing we should be doing.
Mr. Regatta.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly join my colleagues. I think it seems like an excellent project. A lot of people have worked very hard on it. But again, I always like to try to follow the money. And looking at the executive summary, it seems from the total sources of the funding, the developer is deferring a contribution, I guess, if you will, $373,500, if I understand this right, of the total $19.9 needed to do this project, the developer is putting up $373 and deferring to some later date, but that seems to be the developer's contribution. And going to the cost to get that $19.9, I see what's like a payment to the developer of just over $2 million. And so I'm just wondering, because then you get into the project itself, the manager fees, everything else, but in terms of the investments here, and there's different parties, but I'm trying to follow if it's the same developer putting in $373, but really not upfront deferring it. So in terms of money invested in, the developer is getting a $2 million fee. Now, which I assume some of that is for managing the project, but no, the purchase is $2 million. That's going to somebody else.
I think she has some.
So I'm just trying to understand it.
I think what you're looking for is that what the numbers will be on closing to get the project to the stage. Developers often invest hundreds of thousands of dollars, which then might be paid back in the development budget. I actually want to defer to Rose Noonan, who's part of the development team, who might have an idea of what the resources are that may have gone into the development so far.
Rose, you want to join us?
Thank you. I'm Rose Noonan. I'm the executive director of the Housing Action Council, and I am the co-developer. Housing Action Council is the co-developer of this project, along with Carney Realty, who has developed several other affordable housing developments in this community. The question that was asked is in terms of the funds that have been contributed by the development team to date to move this project forward is approximately $300,000 to date, of which Carney Realty and Housing Action Council have shared in that contribution. The developer's fee is based on 15% of the overall cost, which is the number that actually is looked for when you put in a tax credit project. The concerns of those that are reviewing this, is there enough of a reason for a for-profit developer to stay in this project? And that $300,000+ that is deferred, it's because the money is not available at the closing to be able to pay it back. And by the requirements of DHCR itself, we have to show how that additional $300,000 will be paid out of the cash over a 15-year term. If we couldn't show that, the project wouldn't have been funded. The requirement for the development fee also goes to our investors, Raymond James, and it'll be TD Bank that purchased these tax credits. They're requiring us to show that there is a 15% developer's fee. And you take that developer's fee, and it also is factored in a basis which creates the value for the tax credits. So approximately $11 million is coming in from private investors because we have the financial structure that we have. In addition, that developer's fee, as with any project, is a cushion. Should there be increases in cost, unanticipated cost, that fee will be the first source that is tapped. We cannot draw any of that developer's fee until we close on the permanent closing on this project. So we will go through construction, go into permanent closing, and whatever developer's fee is available at that time, it will be shared between Carney Realty and Housing Action Council. In our case, it will be used to support our work with additional housing developments. Is that responsive?
Thank you.
Your question?
Yeah, that works.
That clarifies the money movement.
Mr. Jenkins, go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two different points. One is that we did actually ask a question about the utilization of HIF and New Homes Land development dollars in previous projects. We do have opinion from the county attorney from September 21st, we brought in the Grant Park project, where we actually had the similar conversation to ensure that we were not going to put ourselves in a quagmire in utilization of that. And certainly the answer from the county attorney was that paragraph 31 of the settlement agreement requires the county to adopt a policy statement reflecting a commitment to examine location of affordable housing in the context of the goal of eliminating discrimination and de facto residential segregation. This paragraph does not bind the county to locate affordable housing units in any particular geographic locale. Moreover, so long as the county is in compliance with the substantive terms of the settlement agreement, continuing to fund projects that are not contemplated by the stipulation and order is not prohibited. We do have a question that is outstanding at this particular point in time that has been asked to the monitor. As context for the particular backdrop with our implementation plan, there is some discussion going back and forth. We are assured from the monitor that we are going to have an answer. I believe by today, I'm looking at former legislator Oros there, Mr. Oros. It's hard for him not to be a legislator anymore. It is my understanding that we will have some contemplation on that. So in that regards, Mr. Chairman, what we did indicate is that we would have the discussion and go through our complete discussion, but we would not take any action until after we, heard that particular item, just so we had that information on the record.
All right. And Mr. Kaplowitz, and you heard our chairman's concern on a holistic basis, right, Mr. Kaplowitz? So the table is yours.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for chairing this get together, and thanks to Chairman Jenkins for bringing a lot of this together, colleague Harkham for sharing Somers, and all colleagues for considering this item. We do have, and as was indicated, the supervisor here from Somers, and she has done a yeoman's task to get us to this point, working with the county planning, and thanks to them, Rose Noonan, development team. Also, just from Somers, want to note, we have some very interesting people who have followed it, friends of ours at the League of Women Voters. We have Barry Singer, who's been involved with the housing issue, affordable housing issue with Somers, and Polly Kuhn, Dean Goldenberg, who is on the planning commission in Somers, and a number of other interesting people. So it brings a lot of us together over a good project. Just some things, Mr. Chairman, if I might just put on the record
please.
Try to anticipate. First, so often we, in due diligence, look to the cost per unit of what this project is, and it does fall within the parameters of a rental unit. The first page, if you do the math, the per unit total is actually wrong. It's 52,083, not 102,146, because that was, it's 3750 divided by 70. You did cumulative, not the Excel spreadsheet. We have to bad Excel spreadsheet for today.
What do we think, Michael?
But actually, that number is 52,083.
Instead of 102?
Yeah, it's not cumulative. You only have 43 and 59. 59 is a subset of that. So. And for rentals is within the parameter, within the wheelhouse of what we've done on an investment basis. We typically look 40 to 80,000 somewhere in the rental range. Ownership is typically $100,000 and above. So this does check off to the chair budget, because that's an important consideration here for sure. To legislator Meyer's point, a good one. What brings someone to a wedding could be a shotgun in some cases. Could be pure love. Or could be something in between. At the end of the day, when you say I do, it doesn't matter, you're married. So we have here an opportunity to build units, and it's important that all parties in good faith, and the supervisor is correct, that the 2005 agreement did provide, and to her credit, and to the whole board's credit, the town board and the boards within Somers, they're working to effectuate their side of the deal. The 654 acres has been renamed, but it's open, and for the environmental reasons it has been protected. And this is now a chance to, in good faith, step up with actual implementation and effectuation of the project. So it would be a very good sign on the part of the Board of Legislators, and frankly a fair side of the deal, if in fact we allow this to go forward. The second part relates to the moral obligation side, which continues, and I think it sends another nice message to the entire county that Westchester County, not just because of the recent agreement, but in general recognizes
the economics, the humanity, the morality, the good sense of building units that are affordable and, of course, fair and affordable, because it brings a much more diverse community to the fore and allows us to recognize the full spectrum of economic activity and the worth of all people, not just based on their checkbook and their income. And so Somers is joining the League of Nations in a very strong message that they too would like to be able to build some of these units, and we have an opportunity to invest in Somers, which we have not done so. In the 13 years I've been on this board, this is, I dare say, the first time that I've had the pleasure of being involved at the legislative level, board level, on such a project. I think it sends a nice message. On the other side, I think it sends a very important message, which I really want to state for the record, and maybe I'm one of the few cognizant of it, but I think it's important to note, and talking to Mr. Burton and his concern, we have now a new world where we have the requirement to build up to 750 units utilizing the dollars put aside for fair and affordable housing. And if, in fact, if you only want to approach and work on those units, that's fine. And one could make the argument, in fact, that's perhaps what we should be doing. That is, use up those dollars first, only focus on. But I know, as sure as the sun will come out eventually, that there will be projects in the rest of the communities, the non-31 communities, the other communities of Westchester, the Yonkers, the New Rochelles, the Mount Vernons, Peekskills, Ossinings, and so many other communities. Mr. Burton's back. And this is a concern Mr. Burton had and others had, and a real concern, which is we also have needs and potential investment opportunities, and we would have, do we shut those down, or do we continue to move in that direction? This project, by definition, as we sit here today, does not count towards the 750 units. That's bad because we'd like it to count, and there's some effort that might occur. But even if it doesn't occur, it still says that we're using HIF and land acquisition monies to purchase and acquire and put on the books units outside those 31. And that sends a message to the rest of the community of Yonkers and Mount Vernon and New Rochelle and Ossining, et cetera, that, in fact, this is still good investment. This is still appropriate and allows you, Mr. Chairman, the Budget Committee, to continue to have these deliberations when these projects mature. So it sends a signal. The converse is, if you don't approve a project like this, it then sends a signal, we're going to shut down the entire housing market and the entire housing world unless and until. And so I think your leadership is showing in a very mature fashion that it allows the whole housing world to continue, both in the communities we need to build under the recent agreement and the old residents at that point.
Yeah, Mr. Capo, can you put it in perspective as a sponsor of such a project along with your colleague Mitar? What needs to happen now in order to move forward, because we all invested all this time. As a matter of fact, we weren't supposed to meet this morning, but it is that important that we hear.
Two last pieces to it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir, for bringing it to fruition. And the reason, just if I might finish the last reason, is
sure.
Also finally jobs and economic activity. This is $19.9 million invested in Westchester County. There will be jobs. There will be refrigerators and sold, and trucks delivering those refrigerators. And economic activity, that is a good thing. That is not an improper thing. That's an investment where the private community is not doing that. The public-private partnership model allows that to continue to go forward. And that's important as well. So, Mr. Chairman, to your direct point, there are two pieces. One, to the timeliness of the project. This project needs to have been approved, I don't know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. The oak tree should have been planted a long time ago through no fault of this board. And the chairs have been very responsive, including Mr. Ryan, of moving this as fast as possible. These things typically take 3 to 6 months, if not longer, even when it hits these tables. So to everyone's credit here, we're moving it along as fast as possible. With the estoppel period that's out there, this really needs to be approved. Certainly at our next board meeting. So it's an opportunity today to make sure we've done our due diligence, check everything off, move this forward as fast as possible, because the closing and all the credits and things like that by May 1st begin to vanish. And so that's why it's important that we act, and thank you again for meeting as quickly as you did. To the last piece, and Mr. Jenkins touched upon it, the chairman touched upon it, we had a representative here from the county executive's office. The last piece that's still outstanding that doesn't stand in our way from going forward, but that between now and that next meeting, next Monday, that needs to be determined, is that the administration had gone from a benign position to a more in favor of position with, and I thank them for that,
with one last piece. That is that they just want to make sure that they don't run afoul, and George, stop me if I'm speaking incorrectly, the administration has gone from, I used a benign, disinterested position to a position of we will sign in support if, in fact, the monitor indicates that we do not run afoul of our investment and commitment to the other 750 units. That was an important but subtle distinction that I think allows the two branches to come together and allows us to then move this project forward. Because a reasonable monitor, given what in fact is presented with them, would then say, if the cause is fair and affordable housing, in fact, you're still committed to it, you need to go forward, but these dollars, assuming they're not the last dollars in the bucket, and they're not, through your capital project and budgeting, will have the opportunity, as long as you don't neglect and continue to assert that you need to build the 750, if you choose at the same time to build these units, that's fine. If it builds affordable housing, affordable units, potentially even fair and affordable units, if in fact the agreement comes together. And finally, the grandfathering, I think, sets this thing in the right place. Just as these units were grandfathered out and were not included, right, these 70 units were not included under the grandfather arrangement as we approve, as we believe it to be the case, it would be inconsistent of the monitor to then say, since these units don't count, I will then be an impediment to these very units that don't count. The consistent argument would be, they don't count, you can go ahead and build them. For other reasons, that's not my decision, monitor. I'm just here to look after the 750. You do what you think is legislatively appropriate, and you, however, still have to assert and affirm your position on the 750 units. And that hasn't changed. We still know our obligation on that side. So, Mr. Chairman, for all reasons, public policy, economics, and the legacy projects, I think this comes together nicely. Timeliness is critical, and I thank you for the chance to say a little bit more than a few words this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaplowitz. Ms. Becker.
Hi. Through the chair or to Mr. Kaplowitz. Okay, I've always approved of affordable housing and senior citizen housing. This is, everybody is in agreement. It's perfect. It's wonderful. Like you said, we don't know if this is part of the 750, will be, won't be. Could I just ask somebody if they know the difference is a 150 that are left? Is there a possibility if they say no on this that the other 150, which we haven't done yet, could be part of the agreement? Or
there's under the agreement, as, and now forgive me, John is far better versed than I, but on a going forward basis, Somers is clearly in the 31 communities. I don't believe there is a census tract in the whole town of Somers that's excluded.
There's one block.
Is there one block? Okay, so with the exception of that one census block, the answer is yes, that if in fact there are some additional projects that come forward, whether they be one and two units or 50 or 70 units, that in fact I would imagine endeavor to try to bring those in under the 750 requirement. It would behoove us to do that. The money's already put aside, we've already bonded for a lot of them, and so it doesn't preclude that. There's also a possibility, Bernice, as we've discussed, that, I mean, this is a good thing that might even be made better. There is a possibility, and the supervisor indicated last time, that in building out this entire project, I think the number was 19, there might be potentially another 19 units that might be built that could be fair and affordable, and that might count towards both the 750 and count towards the Somers 220-something. So this is all good news for every reason. It could only be made better, and the administration, to their credit, is pursuing that to see if, in fact, those 19 might count. I don't anticipate it's possible that the monitor says these 72 count towards it. We're under the assumption it does not, and in fact, the project stands on its own.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Kaplowitz. Anyone else? Any other committee member? Mr. Nona.
Yeah. Just a couple of observations.
I want to raise that.
We are. There's one aspect of this that has nothing to do with the settlement, and that is, as I understand it, a contractual agreement between Somers and the county with respect to legacy fields. So there's an issue of whether we're just following through on a contractual obligation. Somers is following through on a contractual obligation, and we have a reciprocal obligation to assist in the funding of the project. And then the second point is that it was on the list of excluded projects, so if it's on the list of excluded projects, how can we not go forward with it if it was previously approved? But I want to come back to the settlement and whether there's any possibility of putting this project under the settlement, which I understand the administration has asked to monitor and consider.
Isn't that what they
right? I've seen the letter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The only restriction, as I can see it, to having this fall within the settlement is that we have not built the required 150 units of non-senior housing that we have to build before senior housing can qualify.
No, we actually just can't fund it with the $51.6 million.
Right, okay,
until
right.
175 senior building permits
non-senior
have
unions have
right.
been, have been
correct.
Building permits have been issued.
Correct. It doesn't say it can't count. It just says we can't fund it
from that pot.
From the 51.6 million.
But if we fund it from another pot through the chair?
Yeah. So you're saying it's possible it could okay. count if we funded the way we're now funding it, which is not using any of the 51.6.
Subject to approval by the monitor.
But otherwise, it qualifies with respect to the AMI. 30% to 60%. It would be marketed through the Fair and Affordable Housing
yes.
marketing plan that was part of the implementation agreement.
Correct.
Has any thought been given to taking some of those 72 units and making like 10 of them non-senior housing to enhance the possibility that the monitor may say, okay, since you're including some non-senior housing?
You're talking about intergenerational?
Yeah. Well,
a mixed generational.
Can I comment on that? There is a planning board preliminary approval, and the preliminary planning board approval is for senior affordable housing units. If you want to change
right,
this project,
okay. you have to go back to the
plan.
Going back
right.
to the planning board.
And what about the additional 19 units that were mentioned?
That's a separate project.
It's a different location.
The project as a whole is called the Planned Hamlet. It's a mixed-use project. It's got commercial property, and it's got residential
yeah.
property. In addition to these 72 units of senior affordable housing, there is 150 units of market housing. Our legislation requires that 15% of those 150 units be affordable. And
that's pursuant to your local zoning law.
That's pursuant to our local
zoning
law. And
is there an AMI fact? Is it what's affordable? What's the affordability definition?
Our affordable zoning code reflects the county's okay. rules with regard to affordable housing. But the other thing that I wanted to mention is it's between 19 and 24. Those 150 units that will be built ultimately, those are they're based on FAR. So it could, if there are a few more units built and they're a little smaller, then the 15% will be up to 24 units. If there are if they make the units bigger, then maybe they only build 145 units. So there's a little bit of range. So I say between 19 and 24 units. And I just also wanted to point out your comment with regard to the county's obligation in connection with the IMA with the town of Somers for the purchase of the Eagle River property, which is a town and county owned park at this point, is very accurate. But the county also has obligations to assist with affordable housing projects in the town of Somers. I don't have the language directly in front of me, but you're absolutely correct about that. And I also wanted to mention, somebody says something about the other units could be fair and affordable housing, and these units could be affordable housing, but I don't think that that's really, I know we're using fair and affordable housing to talk about the units that fall into the settlement, but certainly it is Somers' intention to every unit that builds is fair and affordable, whether or not it falls within the
right. I mean, I think it should refer to these units as fair and affordable. The only difference is they're senior restricted, and they fall within that limitation in the settlement agreement that Norma, you just pointed out. Other than that, they would be, especially if they're marketed in accordance with their marketing plan. Thank you, Madam Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Nunn. Any other members have any comments they wish to make at this point? I'd like to note that because we have some paperwork still to be accomplished, we are not going to be voting on this matter today. This matter will be brought up the next Monday at a joint meeting of this committee and the Budget Committee, where all of the paperwork that's still in place, still needs to be in place, will be in place at that point. So if we can, aired, I think, all the issues that members have, and I would hope, therefore, at that meeting next week, we'd be in a position to move this through rather rapidly. Does anybody have any problems with that particular structure of timing? If not, Mr. Harkin?
Well, is it possible for us to vote this through with the contingent that if the paperwork changes, we can always change it next Monday? But, you know, it seems...
Mr. Jenkins is right behind it. So, Mr. Jenkins...
I mean, the issue is that there is some analysis that is being done, and the monitor is going to get back to us, and he commits by the end of today, right? So, I mean, there's
who commits? By the monitor committed by the end of today?
Yes, that's what the monitor sent us an email and said, or the monitor's office sent an email that said they will have this problem resolved by the end of today. So with that, with all due respect, the suggestion I'm saying is that instead of us voting something out that we have to change, right, then let's wait to
we
vote
may have
out.
To change. Right? All right, and so this is the commitment from the two chairmen here.
We don't
need this level of detail the following Monday, but this item is automatically on our joint agenda for the following Monday morning. But I have Mr. Ryan's with a suggestion.
Well, you have another alternative too. You could recess the meeting.
Tomorrow morning.
You recess the meeting until later today. You may hear by the close of business from the monitor, and then you could reconvene the meeting and pass the item. I think right now the way it lays out, all things considered, the old legacy funding commitment, how this project advances our housing posture as a government in this county, the added context of the settlement that we just agreed to a few months ago. I think it really the great weight of this suggests that it's going to be passed. At least I would think. One legislator I know I'll be voting to.
We have enough votes right here.
So my suggestion is either pass it now. Mm-hmm. Because even if the monitor says I can't quite get there, it still fits into other important policy concerns that we have. And of course, if we do not want to do that in deference to the monitor and what he's going to be doing between now and later this afternoon, then we could always recess, come back later in the afternoon, and do that.
Yeah, it's not possible for me to come back. That's I am here because
I'm just pointing out what the options are for
Ms. Beck. I'm sorry, Mr. Pinnock.
That's all right.
I apologize.
I just have my hand up for 5 minutes. I just have one quick question to raise, and I appreciate the administration bringing the matter to the monitor. I'm somewhat confused about the monitor. I didn't think he was in a position to make quote unquote the decision. I thought he represents DOJ and HUD.
Okay, wait.
And with regard to any decision, I would rather feel comfortable seeing a letter from HUD or DOJ saying this is the answer to your inquiry of whether this would count or whether we could and correct back weeks.
The monitor has
wait.
All right. To the chair, please.
May I ask? I followed this too, like each of you. And certainly, if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected.
All right,
but
all right.
I think we're not just waiting for the monitor.
I'm sure Rose or Norma can confirm this is right, but under the settlement agreement, the monitor has certain powers or authority to make adjustments in the 750 and the allocation and how it works without the approval of HUD.
All right, and Mr. Jenkins.
That's one of them, to consider previously excluded.
Right. And because of the change, instead of us voting something out, that we're going to have to change. The commitment is that we will have our discussion today, at which we have. We do not need everyone to come back, right? Mm-hmm. There's certainly a sense around the table that this project is going to be approved in whichever form it ends up having to take at the end, and that we will have this item clear in front of us with whatever clear paperwork is necessary in front of both committees for the April 5th meeting, right?
That's
I just can. It is a Jewish holiday. You know, some of us have to leave early today and tomorrow. I have my education committee. You have your committee, Mike. You could make it a 10 to 10:30 if you get an answer and you want us to come back and discuss it. You know,
for Monday.
Well, if you wanted to recess it, like. Ryan said, then we can...
Yeah, but it's already 10:40. Listen, the commitment, I don't think we have an attendance issue. We don't need this level of discussion come Monday, and both chairmen of our committee to just reconvene, get the official response from the monitor, and we're moving forward Monday, and it'll be blue-sheeted, and we'll be visiting Monday night with strong commitment from district chairman.
Thank you. Any other comments by any members of either of the committees? If not, then on no other business before the Housing and Planning Committee, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Beckman, second by Mr. Grabowski. All in favor say aye.
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 Any other business to come before budget and appropriation?
Yes, I would. Ken left. I would like to bring up one thing before anybody leaves. I just want on the put on the record that we are still analyzing. And our budget people and finance people are still analyzing the expenditure reduction of $16 million as well as the $166 million deficit that has been discussed, and we are still analyzing this.
Okay. So the level of examination of
continues.
The data continues. Anything else? Otherwise, a motion to adjourn is
second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 And adjourn. No. It's there.
So we got your buddy.
It's in your pile, and I ran it over to you.
1 o'clock.
You're right.
I'm not going to do it.